In the last lecture, I would like to give an outline of the proof of Łazienkowicz inequalities and, in fact, the property of so-called regular separation, which he called himself. Okay. So, first I should maybe recall the definition of subanalytic sets. So, we say that in M, which is analytic manifold, and so A is subanalytic, if and only if A is a locally finite, locally finite union of projections of relatively complex semi-analytic sets. From some bigger space. And the class, this class is essentially bigger, so there are subanalytic sets which are not semi-analytic. But starting from R3, which are not semi-analytic, so this will be explain an example, classical example of Osgood. So it was in fact found before all this theory was created in the 20s. And this will be in the exposition of students explained. Okay. So this example of Osgood, in fact, is a cone, it's a transverse analytic cone, analytic except the origin in R3, which is. Essentially not algebraic, but we have the following theorem. So in fact, Łazienkowicz in his EHS lectures, he has proved the following. If dimension of M is 2, then subanalytic sets are semi-analytic. So this result was somehow the consequence of his theory of these normal partitions, which we have simplified in the paper I am talking about this distinguished stratification. This turns out to be crucial to show metric properties of semi-analytic, but in fact also for subanalytic sets. Okay, so let me assume this result for a moment, and I will explain you the consequences, and in the end I will give you an idea how to obtain this result of Łazienkowicz. So, what are the consequences? So, to explain these consequences, let me start with the following lemma 1. So, this will be more in the style of Łazienkowicz talk, because Łazienkowicz used to prepare a small lemma, and in the end, he gave a so this time I follow this style. Okay, so what we are talking about? Let's take a polynomial in two variables. This distinguished polynomial in two variables. Like this.
algebra with this AI, which are analytic in the neighborhood of zero in R, and they vanish zero.
Okay, so this is this Weierstrass polynomial. So the statement is that the zero also of this polynomial P let's say in the neighborhood of the origin at R2, they are included in the set of that form. Y smaller than actually the value of the y smaller than x power alpha, and here we put also some constant. So it says somehow quantitatively that you may draw this when we draw this set. So alpha, you may think that more or less that alpha is rather bigger, smaller or equal than one. So alpha, in fact, may be of that form, like square root or something like that. So this is this set which is on the right, and the zeros of our polynomials, they live in this set. So this is quite easy observation, because we simply use the estimate for the size of roots. Each a I x is smaller than some constant d modulus x. Okay, because these are analytic functions, so we have this estimate. And so this I can write in which way? I can write it as a d one over I x one over I power I. Okay. And now this I will take as R so in the end what is the correct or in fact I can put here K in fact, yes, because I are smaller than K. Okay, so now, so we have this estimate on the size of the roots. So if now Pxy is zero, then from the estimate on the size of root, it follows that they are not greater than 2R, which is this constant. Times x power 1 over k. So that's all. Okay. So this is this observation. But there you may have also more precise estimates for. For this exponent, but in this case you cannot do better in general. If the polynomial is not is irreducible, then you cannot do better. Okay. So now the second lemma is that we have assumed that we have a semi-analytic set in R2. Compact and such that intersection of E with the vertical line, no, so this is 0 times R, may contain only the origin. Okay, so what it means? It means that our set avoids. So here is our set. So how? Appearing maybe on the side, but it does not. Does not touch the vertical line except the origin. Okay. So now, of course, then the statement is that E is one of this of the set of that form. Some alpha and okay. Since it is compact now, it is, no, this was somehow in the neighborhood only, this estimate, but since we have compactness, so we taking constant C big enough, we can always achieve this. Okay, so this how to prove this lemma? I said semi-analytic, so in fact I may say also sub-analytic, yes?
Or sub-analytic.
According to Weierstrass theorem. But let us do it for semi-analytic set. So for semi-analytic set, distinguished stratification. So we use the distinguished stratification of a cube in R2 compatible with E. So now, in the case of two variables, we can always we can make this distinguished stratification without making change of variables, linear change of variables. So I will explain you why. So we have the following fact that if we have a analytic function which appears in the description of E, so then it can be written as x power L times gxy, where y is regular, Weierstrass regular, with respect to y variables, where j. So this function. Okay. So we don't need to make change of variables. Why it is so? Because when you write when you expand function into power series of that form, that coefficients are some c nu x, so this are analytic function of x, y power nu, then when this function is not regular, why it is not regular? If and only if all these coefficients, they vanish at zero. Okay. So, but if they vanish at zero, we assume, of course, that function is not identically zero. So at least one of this is non-zero. So we can factor in each CU. We can write it as which is non-zero. In fact, we write it as x power L nu some unit. And now take L, which is the minimum of all this L nu. And you see that we can divide all the coefficients by this x power L. And one of the coefficients we can become non-zero. It is analytic and regular. Okay, so we don't need to make any change of variables in this case. And now when we make this distinguished stratification, so we may assume that in fact here in a neighborhood we have this quadrant. It's not a good one. It should be like that. Right? Okay. And it is enough to study the strata of dimension one. Okay, because you always have. Then in this case, you will always have kind of seldom composition, because on this part, E cannot be on this over the greatest of the one-dimensional component. So it is enough to study the frontier of E. So. To show the inclusion for the frontier of A, which is one dimensional. But when it is one dimensional, then for instance this arc. So we can apply the previous lemma. So this is the proof of this lemma. And when we know that the sub-analytic sets are actually semi-analytic, so we can also apply this for sub-analytic sets. Okay. So maybe now I will state this version of Wojciech's theorem. Let A be compact subset of M, which is analytic manifold, and let phi psi be two functions on A into R continuous. With some semi-analytic graph. Then assume that, so this I should check because it's like usual with all these inequalities, you should remember in which direction is the inequality. So I assume that the zeros of phi are contained in the zeros of psi. Okay? Then there are two constants, say alpha and c, such that the absolute value of so which is smaller, this should be smaller, is psi, because it has more zeros, is less than equal in c psi x power, maybe I should put z, alpha for any point in the compact set A. So this is the this is the same as Wojciechowicz inequality. So it is stated for continuous functions, and here it is with some semi-analytic graph. Okay. So how to prove this? So consider the map F which goes from from A maybe I will write immediately the result. So I consider the pairs phi z by z, so I will be cheating a bit, not cheating, but going a bit faster. So with z from A. So in fact, this is a subanalytic set. Okay, this is an image of an compact semi-analytic set. Because you see here, this is strange a bit, this assumption. We don't assume that A is semi-analytic. And in fact, well, in general, if the graph is semi-analytic, so when we project it down, not necessarily we obtain a semi-analytic set. So here is somehow there is some work to formal, not complicated work to be done to explain to justify this claim. But now by this theorem, that any subanalytic set is semi-analytic. So we know also that this set E is semi-analytic. So we can apply, we have to check this assumption. So this assumption follows from the assumption that the zeros are in this inclusion. Hence,
the theorem
follows from this observation that we can use lemma 2.
And by lemma 2, E is included in the set of the four.
Now there is a lot. There is a lot of study about this inequality in various situations. For instance, for polynomials, you may try to compute the best exponent. For instance, so it's called so-called the Weierstrass exponents. There are several methods in algebraic geometry to compute this. And this issue is important in many different situations, actually. So finding, for instance, this exponent is still a challenging problem. Okay, so this was this Weierstrass inequality, and now I will start to speak about the separation theorem. There is another lemma. Which says the following. So if A is a subset, semi-analytic subset, say in Rn, then there is a semi-analytic function that is J in the neighborhood, so a function in the neighborhood of A. Maybe I should assume here that A is in fact relatively compact, so bounded, if you like. Such that it approximates distance function. So there's small c distance x to A, capital C distance x to A. So in fact, this is a local result on the existence of this function. And so which function G, such that the graph of G is semi-analytic. This is in the paper. This is somehow also very miraculous that we can do it, because in general we know that this function distance function is not semi-analytic. Okay. Can be well approximated by a semi-analytic function. And now, once we have this, we can state another theorem of Moyashevich, so which is also very, very celebrate somehow. Let f be an analytic function from open subset in Rn. And A, if you fix a point, A is a fixed point in U. Then F X modulus is bigger or equal than some constant distance of x to the zero set of f, and this is in a neighborhood of a with some power here. So the power, well, I think usually people met n were for some C constant, and the exponent can be taken even integer if you like. Okay, so and this was somehow the important ingredient in the Moyashevich proofs of division of distribution by analytic function. So this was the main tool. So do you see the relation between this which theorem? This one. So we have two functions, which we have f and phi. So because now I have changed the direction of inequality. So I should take a phi, which is f, and psi, which is distance. Well, I cannot take distance because it's not semi-analytic, but I can take this j. And the zero sets are equal. So by the theorem, I should put down some numbers to this theorem. So this should be maybe theorem zero. This will be zero. This will be. This is the one. And this will be two. And apply theorem one. So for instance, this function is this inequality is already interesting for polynomials. And for polynomials, let us assume that we have a polynomial even in two variables. So it's a polynomial. Two variables. And say, which is, say, 0 is 0. And positive outside zero. So it has a minimum, local minimum. So what we can write? We can write that F is bigger than constant sum power of distance to the zero set, but zero set is just the point, so this is distance to the origin. Okay. And now assume that we know the degree of the F. So, what is the worst case? It means worst case corresponds to the case when this n is the biggest. So, the maximum of n. And this is, I believe, still unknown. This is related to so-called AN singularities. And even in two variables, it is not known this estimate. Of course, you may say, why I say ND maximum? Why I say maximum, not a supremum? But the reason is that we know that there are finitely many values for this exponent possible. If we have a parameterized family of analytic function, which parameters depending in a finite dimensional space, say algebraic or even marginally or minimum, then the values of this best exponent for each function, given a function, so such exponents, they are finite, because in fact in this case they are rational functions. So, and one can show that they can be computed using kind of logarithmic trick, and so you obtain that the value of this exponent as a function of parameter is a definable function which values in rationals. So it must take finitely many values. So this is, for instance, the value. And in fact, there is a conjecture by I think Hussein Zadeh that this exponent is related exactly to the type of an singularities, the maximal n, such that we can find locally polynomial, the polynomial locally can be written in the form something like, I think it is x square plus y n plus 1. Oh, so, but this was kind of digression. What is the state of research in this direction? Okay, so in the remaining time, I would like to give you the idea of. I should also speak about this separation theorem. Perhaps here. What he called himself, Wojciechowicz, separation theorem, is a. Kind of more general case of this theorem 2, so theorem 3, separation or regular separation. Maybe I make a picture so that then this is easier to understand, probably. So we have two sets, say A and B, and there is a common part. So now we take a point, say, and
at B, and we compute distance to A. So distance x to A is greater or equal than some constant. Now we can compare this distance to the, with the distance to the common part of this set. So this is the distance to x to A. Because we assume that this is well, this is somehow local around the points from this set, because otherwise if it is empty, then we need to make some conventions, etc. But this is essential. And with some constant n, with some exponent n. And this should hold for the points from B. So this is this regular separation. Well, so this regular separation is again a consequence of what? Of this lemma that we can replace distance by a semi-analytic function and lemma 2. An example where this is not true is that when we take function exponential 1 over x, and so this, let's say this is a, and b is this line, so this is no longer true, this statement. So the graph of this function is not a semi-analytic set in particular, it follows. Okay? Because here you see this distance is infinitely smaller compared with this one. With this one. Of course, nowadays there are in minimal structures quite well-known way to express this Wojaciewicz inequality. This Wojaciewicz inequality, they are somehow well adapted. There are versions which hold in any minimal structures. But my goal was also to present this the original movie somehow. So we are left with proving the fact that sub-analytic set in Rn, R2, sub-analytic, in fact, is so we give a self-contained proof in this paper. So there are some classical steps which are crucial in Gabreov proofs of model completeness of Rn, etc. So one step is the maybe I should be more precise. So I take some f which is in R2 times Rk semi analytic bounded, and I want to project it on R2.
So, of course, the dimension of F a priori is great, large, maybe. So one step, the first step is the reduction of the dimension, so-called fiber cutting lemma. Okay, so we have.
Reduction of dimension. Lemma.
Well, of course, it's difficult to make to be sure historically who was the first to do it. So I think I have still some time to start doing history of mathematics. All this subject, but I think in French it is called. This is attributed to Tom, in France. To this carpeting function. So it means that, in fact, you may see on this in the following way. So you have the fibers. Let us assume that the fibers are kind of grafts, and now. You want to eliminate one variable, in this variable in which this is a graph. So you arrange the things in the way that this graph, the function is zero on the boundary of a set. So, no, it's not, no, precisely that. This is the fiber, one fiber. Okay. So you take a function which is zero on the boundary and positive inside, and now you can find a maximum of this function, and so this maximum can be this will be a critical point of this function. So in this way you will find a point, and this point in fact projects on in the same way as this big set, huh? Because this is a fiber of math, so it goes to this point, and now, thanks to this carpeting function, we may choose one a point. So we dimension is now reduced to the dimension 2. So it means dimension of f. We may assume to be 2. Of course, it demands some precise work with this distinguished stratification, etc. The second part is reduction to the case where F, where E, which is the image, is of dimension 1. Okay. So well, I'm not. So this is some kind of topological argument. Since we know that now F is of dimension 2, so when you make this distinguished stratification compatible with F, then somehow the boundary only counts. Okay. So finally, we need to prove that the image of one-dimensional set is semi-analytic set is semi-analytic. And the remaining case, the main case,
we can say the hard case with one dimension f for one.
Now, so first we make some rather very elementary analysis of the sets of dimension one. So if dimension of one f is for one, then f is a union of finite union of so-called semi-analytic arcs. So why she likes it a lot. He calls it S-analytic, in fact. Semi-analytic arc. Endpoints. So of course, fine. So this semi-analytic arc, in fact, they will be always represented as a graph of function in one variable. Okay, after some change of variables, we can assume that they are graph of functions in one variable. Okay, and now what we want to show is that when we have a projection, so which goes from R minus plus one to R, then this image is semi-analytic. So the main ingredient is that in this case, we do it for semi-analytic arcs because other, of course, points are not, is not a problem. And the trick here is that we have the following fact. If our arc, because they will be connected, this thing, so connected. So if the F is not contained in the vertical line, okay. So if it is not in this vertical line, because if this is the vertical line, then the projection, of course, is a point, so this is not a problem. Then there exists an analytic function H such that this function is is zero on S, on the F, and it's regular in Zn. Okay? Because, well, now what may happen? So when we make this projection, it may happen that the function which describes our semi-analytic arc F, they are not regular, so we cannot apply Weierstrass. So, in fact, we can, in this one-dimensional case, we can replace this family by a different family. Okay? So, assume that we have found such a function. Then, if f is in the description of f is a function, not regular. So we may replace it by I think so then it may, you see it means that we have the in this description f equals 0 or f bigger than 0, but we cannot have f bigger than 0 because then this will be open set, so we may have only f equals 0. So we can replace it by f square plus h square. Okay. And now this function, of course, because h is regular, so it's non-zero except the points on this line. And f was so. Now this is this function is now regular. Okay. So we replace all the function in this way. So now the only question is how to find such functions h, and the idea is quite elementary. So. First case is when they are in the same plane. So, okay, so here we have x n, the vertical line, and our gamma. So it may happen our f. So it may happen that our arc f is a planar arc. Okay. So this x n axis. And f are belong to a plane. Then in this case, we can use the argument I showed you in some moment, which says that in the case of two variables, we can always reduce our work to the case of Weierstrass. Reduce it. Okay. Now the case, then they are not. So in this case, so we have three variables somehow, and so we make a projection. We can make a projection. Of our arc, so I'm not sure to be able to give a correct. So this is our f. So we can find a projection of f star. But then. So in such a way, so this is a new coordinate. So the kernel of this projection is chosen in the way that in the description of this f we can apply Weierstrass theorem, preparation theorem. It means that in this theorem of existence of this distinguished stratification, we have to change coordinate system. But in fact, we have a dense family of this coordinate system in which we are. So we may change a little bit this, and now we project it downstairs, and we are at r n minus 1. So we can by induction find a function which is zero on this F star, and because here there should be somewhere this, so here is the x n axis. Okay, and then which is regular now, and we now just extend this function. We have had h on this function of this set, and we extend it to the function on all whole Rn. Okay, so this this is the main argument to show this. Okay. Okay. I think that's all. Thank you.